Hello and welcome to the Swim Ireland podcast coaching series, getting to the nitty-gritty of what it takes to coach the finest aquatic stars in Ireland in an Olympic and Paralympic year. I'm your host, Joanne Murphy, and today I'm talking to Damien Ball. Damien is the Ireland national head coach for diving with four key athletes under his care currently: Oliver Dingley, Claire Cryan, Tanya Watson and Kira McGing. Damien is the lead and primarily accountable for all aspects of Swim Ireland's technical approach to the development, preparation and performance of the national diving squad. All four divers will be aiming to qualify for the 2021 Olympic Games at the FINA Diving World Cup from April 18th to 23rd. Hello, Damien. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hello, Joanne. And thanks for taking the time to talk to me today. And hello to everybody out there.
Yeah, it's great, Damien, to be chatting with you today. We're going to get straight into asking you some questions. And the first of those, Damien, give us a brief background to your involvement in the sport and how you got to become the head coach of Ireland.
Okay, diving for me, it all started back in my hometown. So I originate from a small town in Harrogate, which is in the in North Yorkshire, in the northeast of England. That's where I first fell in love with the sport of diving, firstly as a competitor and then secondly as a coach. For me, coaching kind of began, so my coach that was working with me retired from the sport, and it kind of left our club without a lead coach. So a lot of the people within the club, kind of their eyes kind of turned towards me as being one of the more older members of the club, really. And that's kind of like, look, what are we going to do? So we need a coach. So And for like a lot of people out there, you know, my first taste of coaching was as a volunteer. You know, I was just a helping hand for the club, really. I had no idea or no intention at all at that point that this could be a full-time career for me. I guess my first real opportunity came when the local authority in the town, they opened a new swimming pool, and they'd made a decision to invest into diving, and they wanted to sort of employ a full-time coach to lead their a professionally run program. So that was back in April of 1999. So that's quite some time ago. But that was my first real break, really. So I was lucky enough to get that post, and I stayed with that club, with that program there for 12 years. And that's where I first actually started work with Oliver. That's where I first introduced Ollie to the sport of diving as well. And another lad as well, a young lad called Jack Law, which we'll talk a little bit about later. So yeah, I stayed there 12 years, and I pretty much took that club. It was a small club. It's a small venue. So if we've got any sort of swimming people out there, the way I'd refer to is it's a 25-meter pool. It's our equivalent of that in diving, rather than the big 50-meter swimming pool. You know, we didn't have the great big 10-meter high diving platforms. It was a small venue, if we like. But I kind of maxed that program out, accumulating in 2010 when Ollie and Jack, they kind of went on to, they won world and European junior titles and dived at the Commonwealth Games in 2014. So for me, I needed an extra challenge after that. You know, I was like, look, I've maxed this, the junior stuff out. I've done things in the small venue. How can I challenge myself in a bigger venue? I wanted a bigger setup. So I was headhunted for a role down in Southend, which is just outside of London, for a new program. Now, Southend, they've got a big, long history of producing top-level divers. I think they've had three Olympians over the past. So I knew this was the right move for me. You know, this was a challenge. This was a big setup, and I had to prove myself in that sort of environment. So where things changed there, down there for me, was I was the lead coach there that created a very large diving program. We had nearly 500 divers, about 20 coaches on the books. But for me, my career was now taking two different routes. It was, you know, I was really keen to become a senior international coach. But at the same time, I was now getting bogged down in a lot of management work. And there was a lot of admin and management skills needed to manage a program of that size. And I just felt like I couldn't manage both. So I needed to focus on one route or another. And it was at that time where Swim Ireland were looking for a lead coach to come over and sort of help them with a diving program and help to launch a serious attack on getting people qualified for world and Olympic events. So 2015, I came and joined the team over here with in Swim Ireland. So yeah, that's kind of how I ended up where I am now. Yeah.
It's a fascinating journey to the role of head coach of Ireland. Damien, I want you to tell us a little bit more about the discipline of diving, because we're quite aware of all the different aspects of swimming specifically, but diving, for a lot of us, we wouldn't have as much knowledge about the sport.
Yeah, okay. So, well, there's two main differences, or two main disciplines, if we like. So you've got springboard diving, and then there's platform diving. So the springboard is that's the lower heights, if you like. So that's a 1 meter and a 3 meter high springboard. And the 3 meter springboard is the Olympic discipline. The 1 meter springboard is not, that kind of features at European and maybe world champs, but it's not an Olympic event. The platforms, so they kind of range, they have a 5 meter, a 7.5 meter and a 10 meter platform. And it's the 10 meter that is the Olympic discipline. So there's your two different disciplines, springboard and platform. 3 meter springboard, the Olympic discipline. 10 meter platform is the Olympic discipline up there as well.
Do people who have a fear of heights end up as divers? Question. But if you have a fear of heights, will you ever become a diver?
Do you know, it is something you get used to. I mean, if you've got an absolute fear of heights, then yeah, probably the 10 meter is not the place to be. There is another discipline as well which is getting more popular now, which is high diving, or some people would refer to it as cliff diving. It's not an Olympic discipline yet, but it is starting to. It is now actually a FINA discipline. So that goes up to 27 meters high, and that we're talking, that's just crazy stuff up there, like.
I'm based in Galway and I'm scared to dive off or jump off the top of the Blackrock Diving Tower here in Salt Hill. And as we know that level between the top of the platform and the sea varies depending on the tide, I'm a total chicken when it comes to it. I don't think I'd ever make a diver. Damien, in terms of the divers that you're coaching, we know that the Diving World Cup, which will act as an Olympic qualifier, is coming up. First and foremost, I want to ask you, how is this training going? And is there anything specific that you are working on? And how has COVID-19 impacted what you are doing?
Well, you're right. Yeah, the World Cup, that is coming up. It's next month, actually. So we're about 30 days away from traveling out to Tokyo for our World Cup. And that will act as our final Olympic qualifier. Super proud of the team at the moment. All four divers are training really well. I've got three of them. So Oliver, Claire and Tanya are with me at the moment in Dublin. Kira's currently training in the States at a university, and Kira actually broke an Irish record at the weekend in one of her college meets. So pleased to say that the whole team's looking pretty good at the moment.
We've not had a female Olympic diver, have we?
We've not, no. And that's one of our ambitions, one of our aims, you know, to get one of these ladies across the line and become Ireland's first Olympic diver. I mean, that would be a sensational achievement for us, yeah.
So how has the training been going in terms of, I suppose, working within the restraints of COVID-19, even though as elite athletes, they're probably not as restrained as others?
Yeah, I mean, we've done okay. I mean, a lot of people talk here about, you know, how hard has it been to keep motivated? And to be fair, this group of, I don't think we've had any major problems with that. They're an easy bunch to keep motivated. I think they do that very well themselves. You know, we're just focused now on just trying to stay healthy, stay fit and keeping sharp. It's the competition is only just around the corner. So, you know, next week, maybe we'll start to look at practicing our competition routines and just keeping sharp and injury free, really.
Does the added pressure of the uncertainty around COVID affect their own mental strength or mental preparation for the games?
Well, I think everyone's found a really kind of deep resilience at the moment. And I think they've learned a lot about themselves over this last period. And, you know, one of the things with performance athletes across a lot of sports is that they have a tendency to overtrain. They have a tendency to, you know, want to do too much. And I think one of the things that COVID has made people realize a little bit, there has been interruptions to training and they haven't been able to train as much as they usually would. And then they've realized that actually we're still effective. We're still producing good training sessions here. So I think there's a bit of a lesson here, you know, that maybe we just don't always have to be going full throttle in a training setup. Our biggest problem really is the fact that we haven't been able to get to any competitions. So no competitions. And I mean, it's competition that really brings out the pressure situations. And it's very, very difficult in training to replicate pressure sort of situations. So That's been our biggest challenge, really, from this whole pandemic. You know, the last time the squad competed was March March of 2020 at the German Grand Prix. So we've had to be very creative in terms of different ways to try to replicate pressure in the training environment.
So what have you done to do that, Damien?
One of the things we did set up, it was mainly set up by the Dutch Diving Federation over in the Netherlands, and they were looking for some partners to set up a what we called an international stay-at-home diving competition. So we had a go at setting a normal competition up, but you would just be on your own in your own pool doing your own dives, and they were kind of videoed and then sent off to a central point where they were kind of edited together into a competition. And the thing was with that, when you talk to the divers afterwards and ask them, did you feel like you were under a little bit more pressure? And the answer was yes. So in that respect, yes, it ticked the box and it did the job for us. One of the other things I did with this, I invited our performance director down onto the pool deck and a couple of other people just to, you know, for the divers to feel like they're performing in front of somebody that's almost a little bit more judgmental of them, if you like. So it brings that little bit of pressure down, you know, like, crikey, there's people here watching, you know, I don't want to let these people down. So I need to do a good performance here.
When you look at the training that the divers are doing and you look at the link between diving and the gym, how do you plan your training week for them?
Yeah, it's you know, our week's pretty full, as you can imagine. And we kind of try to hit about 3 or 4 training units per day. And our units are kind of broken up into dry land diving training, pool training, and then specific strength and conditioning sessions. And that kind of totaled just over 20 hours per week. The important aspect here is all the dry land stuff. It's the things that happen outside of the pool. And that would account for over 50% of the amount of the training that we do. So diving is very much like gymnastics into water. So we do train a lot of in a very gymnastics kind of style. So we would spend a lot of time out of the pool working flexibility, mobility, acrobatic skills, working on the strength side of things. So that aspect is really, really important. That's why we dedicate so much time to it. The Institute of Sport, they kind of look after our strength and conditioning program. So we've got a really good relationship with the coaches that deliver that and keep in regular communication. And it's very important for me that we're not hammering the athletes in the gym and hammering them in the pool at the same time. We try to coordinate that so that if it's an easy week in the pool, they've got a more stressful week in the gym and vice versa.
And I suppose it's about creating a bit of a balance as well, Damien, is it, between what they're doing in the water and out of the water?
Yeah, I mean, they've got to complement each other. So we're trying to make sure that what we're doing in the dry land is going to have a direct benefit for what they're about to go and do in the pool. So we would link specific conditioning exercises that match some of the skills that they're going to do in the pool in that session. We've got a good setup with Ollie at the moment as well. One of the things that we've done a little bit differently, Ollie, we've got him on a 3-week program where his first week is it's quite a low, easy week where we're just doing some technical fixes. And then his second week, we really hammer the volume. He does a lot of dives and they're all the complex dives. It's a really hard week. And then his third week, he kind of drops back down again and really just focuses on his competition dives and just does a lot of his competition skills one a piece. And then we just repeat that cycle again. It goes on to an easy week, then a hard week, and then a competition simulation week. And that's been working really well in terms of a structure for me and Ollie.
I have a different approach to training for springboard divers versus the platform divers.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of similarities, obviously. Yeah, I mean, it's still the acrobatic element is still, and that gymnastics flair, if we like, is still similar across both sports. But you've got to be really careful with the platform. It's, you know, you're 10 meters up in the air, you're hitting the water at over 30 miles an hour. I mean, your body is just taking a real pounding when you're up there. So you've got to be a little bit more cautious in a way. And the way we can manage that is just with the volume of dives that they do. So what we call how many contacts that you're making, how many headfirst dives do you do from the 10 meter board? You know, you can't do as many as somebody who's diving off a 3-meter springboard. Body just wouldn't hold up to that. So a different approach really is just to manage that sort of volume there. Yes, I mean, that's the key thing. That 10 meter is a scary place to be. So we've just got to make sure we're concentrating, avoiding unnecessary injuries. So they'll kind of do maybe less dives in a week. The springboarders, we can generally do a little bit more work with.
Tell me, is there a difference between working with the juniors versus the seniors?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I mean, the obvious answer, because I've been asked this question before, and I think the obvious answer is always that, oh, you've got to, like with the juniors, with the youngsters, you've got to add that little bit more variety and a little bit more fun into the training. Yes, I'll definitely agree with that. But no matter what age, the fun and the enjoyment factor is a key thing. So even with the seniors, the session's still got to be varied and there's still got to be a bit of a fun aspect to what we're doing. You know, I really try to keep things as fresh and as varied as I can when I'm working with our seniors. The big difference for me with the seniors is the ability to trust trust that they can fix their own problems, if we like, in a diving sense. They can solve their own problems. They can fix technical issues. And even they have a lot of involvement in agreeing the sort of tactics that we might do in a competition. And with the juniors, they need a little bit more structure and a little bit more direction around sort of making those kind of decisions. But the seniors, I can really kind of get them involved and they can really feel part of the coaching process. And so another really, for me, another really important difference between our juniors and our seniors is always remembering the fact that the juniors, they're not mini adults, and you can't really impose that, you know, that a senior program on them, you know, especially in a physical demands and the volume and intensity of the training. So, you know, I often see a lot of coaches that believe that the best way to make good juniors is to work them harder and to make them stronger and do more than everybody else. And I think coaches at times have to take a little step back and just remember to think about trying to train smarter, not always harder. Seniors can certainly handle a lot more of the physical demands.
Damien, I want to talk to you about a little bit about technique. From a young age, the importance of technique is always instilled into athletes. But is there anything specific you do from a technical perspective with the divers?
Yeah, technique matters a lot, especially in such a technical sport like diving. And there's no way of getting away from that, you know, and it's lots and lots of repetition to get those sort of techniques perfect. You know, practice makes permanent. So you've got to think that perfect practice has got to make perfect. And I think when I think about technique, I think one of the really important things here is for coaches anyway, what they first have to understand is what is good technique and what does perfect technique look like. And, you know, when I'm coaching, what I have to do in my head is kind of make sure I've got a picture in my head of what a perfect dive looks like. What does 10 out of 10 actually look like? And if I can't create that, then how can I sculpt and coach and work with the divers to kind of get to that end product, if you like? So that's really important. For me, mechanically, the takeoff of a dive is the most important aspect of the whole dive. I mean, that's where your height and the flight path and your rotation and the direction that you're spinning, that's all decided upon the takeoff. So from a technique stuff, I spend a lot of time working takeoffs. With Oliver, what we do a lot in the preseason is we do a lot of the bouncing skills on the springboards. We bounce up and down on it all day long. So he's trying to work his rhythm, his timing with the board, trying to be in harmony with that springboard to make that board his friend. You know, so yeah, I do a lot of bouncing stuff with Ollie. That sort of thing's really important.
And how would that differ then with age group athletes?
A lot of it's the same. I think with the youngsters, kind of a bit more attention to detail, lots of repetition again. But the big thing with the juniors, especially when they're learning new skills, when they're learning these complex dives, is not to rush that process, to really insist on quality before difficulty. Get the basic skills really, really good to a really good level before you start looking at doing the more complicated skills. And in the past, when I've been working with juniors, I've been criticized for going a little bit too slowly. And then I can just say back, let's just wait. This is a long game here with the juniors. You know, it's not about quick short-term success. So I've just seen too many good athletes drop out of sport because they've just been pushed too hard, too fast, too soon. So for me, with technique, especially with the juniors, take your time, make sure you get it right first time, you know, trust in that process of getting the basic skills right. The difficulty can come second.
Now you're working obviously with Ollie, Claire, Tanya and Kira, but how do you manage your time to ensure that all of the athletes are getting what they need?
This can be quite difficult, and I think the here is about being well organized, you know, having What we do at the moment with the group is we agree a weekly schedule, a weekly outline, and make sure the divers have agreed and are aware of what their aims are for that week, what the focus is. You know, by the end of the week, I'd like to make sure I've achieved X, Y, and Z. And I actually get that written up on a big whiteboard that's stuck on the pool deck. So there's a big visual piece that we can go back to, you know, time and time again. So I think time spent prepping those sessions is that helps me an awful lot when it comes to actually then into the delivery of a session as well. So when I'm in the coaching setup, when I'm actually on the pool deck in the middle of coaching, what I have to be is observant. And what I mean by here is paying attention to the body language of the divers, listening to what they're telling me, sort of spotting behaviors. And if somebody's in a good place and they're in a good flow and everything's going really well, they often don't need as much input. And I can just kind of give them a few pointers here and there and let them get on with that. But what I'm looking for is if there's any signs of stress or maybe demotivation or a particular technical problem with a dive, and then that I have to be observant and recognize that, and that can then say, right, that person needs a little bit more time, a little bit more attention, a little bit more focus. Another good thing that helps me a lot is we've got a video replay system. I tend to cover a lot of ground when I'm on the pool deck. I go from one side of the pool to the other and back, and I go from the front of the boards, the back of the boards, and if I miss a particular dive, the divers can go back to the video replay system. It's kind of on a loop. It's on a delayed system, so they can it records and plays it back 20 seconds later, so they can go and have a look at that dive. So the divers find that really useful. So that helps me sort of in the field of play, if we like. Another one that helps as well here is just meetings. You know, I meet with Ollie every single week, sort of to discuss training and discuss how things are going. And we also have a team behind our team, so our team of support staff, you know, strength conditioning and physios and psychologists and all the different practitioners that help, you know. So I meet with them regularly as well, so we can discuss each diver and agree on the best ways that we can support each of the divers. So again, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and I think if I don't get that, if I'm not organized and get that set right, that makes my time management in the pool more difficult. So that's where I think I'd like to spend more of my time is in that sort of before the session begins. I think that's an important message, I would say.
So you mentioned there about being observant and the importance of observing. If someone is looking to get into coaching, what are the skills or qualities that make a great coach?
Just having that passion for the sport, if you like. I mean, that's certainly was what it was like for me. You know, coaching is... it's an art form mixed with science. You know, you've got the science, which is your technical knowledge, but you've also got this art form, which is how you communicate, how you present yourself. So I think if you're you don't have to be, you know, massively outgoing, bouncing off the walls kind of character. You can do this with a quiet confidence as well. But having a bit of confidence and the passion, mix them together, and I would say that's a key thing, I think, about being a coach. Yeah.
And the consistency and discipline, the importance of that when it comes to training, but also for life outside of sport as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the skills that sport that gives you, and especially coaching gives you, they're all, there's a lot of transferable skills there into other areas of life. And yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal the benefits that can give you. Yeah.
Can I ask how much of success in diving is down to physical preparation and how much is mental?
Ooh, I mean, that's different for each person. You know, the physical, yeah, a lot of physical stuff. I think the basic physical characteristics around sort of strength and flexibility and speed and agility and those sort of things are very, very important for diving. But when it comes to competition, it's a lot about that mental game. It's you know, how can you handle yourself in that pressure situation? You know, when it matters most, can you perform? So the mental aspect is very, very important. And I think as coaches, we often don't spend enough time working on that. And yeah, I think more time should be spent doing those sort of things. Yeah.
How do you support athletes when they're disappointed with their performance? Or how do you encourage the divers to get back out onto the pool deck for the next competition or the next event and put a disappointing performance behind them?
Yeah, again, very, very individual process. It's understandable for anybody to feel down and disappointed after a bad performance, and they can go into a little slump. The key thing is how long you spend down there and get back up as quick as you can. So it's just talking about it afterwards, discussing things with the athlete, and it's easier. The more you know the athlete, the easier that becomes, that process. But yeah, just talking things through, and then it's very much an individual process then, how quickly that they can rebound and bounce back to good performances.
And as a coach, what motivates you to get the most from your athletes?
It's not necessarily always about winning or gaining medals. It's just when you look at an athlete in the eye at the end of a particular competition, and they can look back at you and they know that what they've done there is the best that they could do at that moment in time. When that happens, that is a really special moment, and you just know that we've got things right. Maybe it could be better in the future, but what we're talking about is that this moment, this specific moment in time, when that was as good as it could possibly be, when you get that realization between your athlete and you as a coach, I think that's a special moment, and that really motivates me a lot. Yeah.
So, two final questions for you. Your top tip for working with senior athletes?
Trust them. You've got to trust them. You've got to involve them. You've got to listen to them. You've got to remember the fact that the seniors, they know more about how their body feels and how to get the best out of their body, how to make it perform. So yeah, just listen to what they're saying and trust that they're going to go about business in the right way.
And the final question, what is your favorite diving moment?
My favorite diving moment. Well, that's kind of an easy one for me. So, and it might not be a surprise, when I talk about the Rio Olympic Games and, but I can go right to a very, very specific moment in that competition. And this is at the halfway point in the final of the 3 meter springboard at the Rio Olympic Games. And I remember we're halfway into this event, and I turn around and look at the scoreboard, and there's Jack Law from Great Britain in second place, Oliver Dingley, Ireland, in fourth place. These are both two young lads that I started coaching process with them back in a small town in Harrogate. And I'm just thinking, wow, like how has this been possible from this small little club, two boys that I started on their journey, and looking at the scoreboard, second and fourth at the halfway stage in an Olympic final. I mean, I don't think it gets much better than that. That was a fab moment. And Jack actually went on to win the silver medal in that event. And Ollie, as we know, he got his eighth place finish. And yeah, that was a really special moment for me.
Thank you, Damien, for joining us today. Some incredible insight into your journey as a coach and some great tips and information for those who are listening to us today. Best of luck with everything, with qualification and the Olympics. We'll be watching very closely over the coming weeks. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Be sure to follow all the action across the Swim Ireland social platforms at Swim Ireland, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Until next time, stay safe and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.